Hi, everybody. This is Ron Amatron from the Creation Light Ship. And today is the 4th of July, 2011, and it's Monday. So, we can have call-ins today if you wish. Somebody want to call in and talk about something. Could be paranormal even if you wish. So, let's do a clearing here for today. And we'll bring in the energy of Princess Diana. As it was her birthday a few days ago here. I think she would have been 50, so let's bring her in first. And here she comes. She was in Jesus doing the humanitarian mission 2,000 years ago as one of the light beings. Here she comes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. And again, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Okay, so we'll see if Carrie's out there, our co-host. You out there, Carrie?
I'm out here, Ron. Yes, hi, and welcome, everybody. Happy 4th. So if you would like to call in, it's the phone numbers under the Station 1 button. So toll-free in the U.S. or Canada is 888-815-9756, and then probably line 3 would be the next best one, and that's 530-413-4522. So since you mentioned Princess Diana, Ron, I know at the end of the show... Oh, we have a beep already. Let's go to that then. Is somebody on the line?
I'm here.
Hi.
Hi. How are you today?
Good. How are you doing? Who is this?
This is Shannon.
Oh, hi, Shannon.
Hi. How are you? I have a question. I'm going to be moving to a ranch soon.
Oh, nice.
Because of financial things, and there's lots of critters and bugs out there. And I've had this irrational fear of insects, and I don't know where it came from or why I have it, but bugs freak me out. And maybe you guys can talk about that.
Okay.
I know it's an odd question, but... And my second question is, my mother, I bet a lot of people wonder about this too. My mother had died several years ago, and I was wondering if there's any way ever I'd ever see her again. And maybe she had come in a reinforced carnation, so maybe you can touch on that, because I always wonder if I'll ever see her again.
Okay, that's a really good question here. So let me just see, I can... find her here, find her spirit anyway, and see if she's here now or going to be. Let me see here. It'll take 15 seconds.
I have
to know about my... I heard. She's not deprogrammed quite yet. So she's still going through a deprogramming, you know, on the other side, you know. Where we get stuck coming back in here. So that's where she is. So she's still getting...
Like many other people, I still cry about her after all these years.
Okay. You might... let me do a clearing for her emotional body in case it's attached to you, okay?
Okay.
And you may want to do a deceased loved one's clearing. I think it's $50. And you can have the emotional body leave. That way it will not, you know, keep coming back. Because what they normally do is they will find family members or even, you know, friends that they liked. And the emotional body will just body hop. And if there's any kind of regrets that the person had in their lifetime, maybe they needed some closure or something. So they may just hop into you and give you a bunch of negative thoughts about events that you had that you should have said, I'm sorry, or something like that. And they're trying to get you to do that. And a lot of times they just bring heartache, because that's all that emotional body knows anyway, is just a negative thing. So everybody else listening here, if you know somebody who passed on, we'll just release, get the emotional body off of you right now. So here we go. and that would be called entities too, but kind of focus on somebody maybe within 5 years ago. And we'll just release that emotional body out of you so that it won't be right now with you, and you can just see if you feel a bit lighter. So here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. And again, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Okay, that should be released now. So how are you feeling, Shannon? Did that help you out somewhat?
I'm not sure.
Okay. So as far as a fear of insects and bugs, I'll do a fear clearing. So let's just see how this works. So think of one of those little critters that you may not like. Just kind of picture whatever it is crawling on you, okay?
All right.
And then I'll use that particular insect, and we'll do a fear clearing on that. Let me know when you're ready.
Okay.
And everybody else can do the same thing here. So here we go. Releasing this from the fear clearing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Okay, Shannon, how do you feel? Does that feel a little less, emphasis on that critter?
I guess I don't feel either one way or the other about it.
Okay, that's good. If you're neutral, that's great. So you may want to do a whole lifetime fear clearing. And if there's no input box here on fear, I think there is, but if there's none, then you may want to input, you may be asked your name, that particular type of insect. So typically, I think most people, I don't know, if I were to think of some, like going camping, I would probably think of mosquitoes would be high on the list here. And then I would probably think of maybe like red ants or wasps, hornets.
A lot of black widows.
Or I would go maybe snakes, snakes for me would be like the, black widows naturally, snakes would be like rattlesnakes. So that's where I would probably go to with the fear clearing. So that's for myself. Okay. And,
I think
so
most
you
people
do
don't
that.
Like bugs on them either.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. So you might just do that whole lifetime clearing and clear away that and just see how you feel about it. Remember, it's very possible that in the past, when I was growing up, I was hearing these stories, you're in elementary school, and somehow, at least when I grew up, they were talking a lot about, the TV programs, were cowboys and Indians a lot, And somehow I heard some story about how the Indians would stake white men out, and the ants would eat them or something, So that was kind of a fear they put into us. I don't think they probably did that. They could have. I was appalled after hearing the Redskin story. I won't go into it on the air, but it is the real story of it, how bad it was. I'm counting Indian heads. That's why they call it a Redskin. But when they used to scalp the Indians, and that's how they, they went into it. So, and then they made it sound like the whites were being scalped by the Indians. That was just because they did it to the Indians first. That's my understanding of it. It was pretty awful. But anyway, I think we got a beep there. So anyone else online?
Hi, Rod. It's Ed.
Yeah, hi, Ed.
Hi, Ed.
Hi. I asked this question a little while back, but I didn't really understand. It's about the Earth Spirit, and the Earth Spirit having been kind of stuck at 43% of its wholeness spirit here in the planet, they've been able to find. The rest they haven't been able to find or repair. Is that the same reason that 2,000 years ago we didn't have an ascension, or is it a different reason?
Are you there, Ron?
Yep, I am now. Okay. My understanding is that the Earth spirit saw that humanity, the people living, were not catching on to the teachings of Jesus. So, and so few would even ascend at that time, that the Earth spirit decided not to do the ascension for itself, because if it would have did the ascension, then the people here would not be able to have the opportunity to do the ascension with the Earth spirit, which is the benefit of the ascension process. This is true with all planets. If you choose to go with the Earth spirit over again, because your body will only resonate to that particular Earth spirit, wherever you are, you know, whatever, you know, planet you're on. So the reason why it stayed back was because it figured that 2,000 years later, people would be more jump-started and understand, and then it could do the ascension with a lot of people. So it wasn't that it was necessarily a capture like it is now. It's the fact that the people were not educated enough, and the darkness took them over too much so that it could not, or chose not to, to ascend.
Was there ever a time before that where the Earth spirit chose not to ascend?
As I'm looking at the database, no, it always has done that every 2,000 years, and then it reforms the planet over again to its choosing of what it wants to have back on it. So this
okay,
year
so
was the first time I believe that it chose to stay back and recreate the thing over again, just the way it was, so that the people could be looking forward to the same event 2,000 years later.
Okay, you said that this time the Earth spirit is not going to reform the planet like it has before.
That's correct, yeah. It's out of here.
Uh-huh.
As of right now, as I'm talking, it's out of here, yes. Uh-huh.
How about the darkness itself? When the ascension occurs and the switch is turned off, like you say, the darkness gets trimmed back to not being in this area of space? Is that where it goes? I mean, where does it get trimmed back to?
Okay. It would be just a void here. And so it would be light territory that had a void. And so there would be nothing here. And because there'd be nothing here, it would be called like we'd be in darkness, using the same word, you know, that we use for negativity, right? But it's not that. And so the Bible, I think, kind of talks about that out of the darkness came the light. Well, that's ascension time. So out of the void where there's nothing, the light was turned back on, and then all of a sudden there was light. But somehow people confuse that and take that as, you know, out of the darkness of the negative energies came the light, and it popped itself out, being, you know, birds are born from darkness, and it came into light to rediscover itself. And that's not the correct philosophy. So at ascension time, there's nothing here. Right now we have light taken over by darkness, by time. I can use that term a little better. So the light is taken over by a time-based reality, and actually in the light there's no such thing as time. And then when the light is turned off, or the light from the light ship, the frequency, the core frequency of light is turned off, then there's nothing existing, because there's no spiritual blueprints energized.
Okay, so 4,000 years ago, there was another void here.
Yes, there was.
Okay, so I'm trying to understand, it might just be tricks of the darkness, I don't know, but they talk about finding things like electronic batteries that are 20,000 years old and that stuff. Where would that come from if there was nothing but a void here?
Okay, that's still in the blueprint. And so what you have is the blueprint has everything that was on the Earth. Now, it's up to the Earth spirit at that particular time of ascension when it gets turned back on again. If it chooses to take the old, I'll use the word baggage, if you would, the old energies that were here, and keep them here. And so, yes, it is very possible that they could find things going back in time that far. Now, if, for instance, 2,000 years ago, the Earth spirit decided not to have the energy of dinosaurs here, and it came back on again, we would not have fossil fuel, okay? So,
right.
You know, or anything like that, because, but it chose to bring forth everything in its past history. But it could reform itself completely brand new, and you would not have anything that was here, you know, like we have right now that we're seeing. So if your spirit chose to do the ascension right now with the light ship, and, you know, you're seeing your house and cars and things, and you're able just to step out and view the process, you'd have darkness. And then if it turned itself back on, it could choose not to have any cars here. Maybe it would choose to have a bunch of trees in place of all the roads. It could do that because it's in control of energizing a blueprint. And it can change whatever is involved with that blueprint. You know, it could bring in maybe three-legged humans here in place of two-leggeds, okay? Or whatever, you know, whatever it chose to do. So far, it's just bringing forth the old, bringing that into reality. But this time, it's not going to be here. As of right now, it could change its mind. We'll say everything is changeable in the moment, but as of right now, it's been here, done that, been here, and everything else, and it wants to get out of time.
Yeah.
And probably because the mind of all the people are dealing with time, it doesn't want to deal with time any longer. So it wants to be truly in the moment, and the only way to do that would be to extricate itself from the old blueprint and go to a whole new blueprint, okay?
So when the void appears, let's say, or a better term would be left over, the void would be left over, the void still has time in it?
The darkness that uses time needs to connect to physicality, okay? Needs to connect to something. And if it's not there, it can't connect to it. So the void would not have time attached because the darkness, which creates time, would have nothing to connect to. So it's kind of like having an electromagnet and you turn the voltage off, you know? And all the little metal filings, if you're collecting metal on it, ferrous metals, then it would fall off. And so the darkness would have no way to have anybody here be a conduit to connect darkness, which is what they have now. Everybody is carrying the frequency of darkness in them from the genetics of the mind and thoughts of their ancestors. So that's how they connect to you.
How big would the void be? See, I'm trying to get... My mind just can't grasp. Maybe it never will, but my mind can't grasp how big we're talking about. I know you talk about if we're on the planet, we look up the stars, they could all be phony, the moon could be phony, the planets could be... All that's phony. Okay. But what if we travel farther away from the planet? At what point does something become real, or is, you see what I'm saying, or is it all phony in infinity?
There's nothing to have that reference about, because nothing in the light would be turned on. Everything that's made of light is turned off. And so, I don't know how large that would be. I have no idea.
Okay. So how does the darkness, when the light is gone, since the light lives off the darkness lives off the light, when the light withdraws itself, how does the darkness stay alive?
Well, they probably are taking people off in a parallel universe and living on them until, you know, everything gets turned back on again.
Okay, so well, they're beyond the edge of the void, let's say, wherever that is.
And they're going to abduct people like they do anyway. That's your parallel lifetimes.
Right, so all these people they're taking, they could be, they're storing up their survival kit, so to speak, for when the light turns off.
In a sense, yes. So the darkness is probably hoping that the planet will get turned back on again, and then they can just bring everybody back here to get light energy to feed the body and to feed the spirit. So I don't know how long the spirit can actually live with the universe of light turned off, okay?
Right.
I don't know how, you know, if it has, special batteries or regular ones, you know. I don't know how long that's going to last. I don't have a clue on that. I know the light ship will look for it, look for pieces of light. And like I say, it could stumble upon you or someone else in the process of looking for somebody completely different and take that away as it's looking for a part of itself.
Right. So as far as the...
It could be, too, that we're like dessert for the dark side, and they've developed a sweet tooth since they found us, but they, in their own creation, in their own universe or creation, whatever, they already had appetizers in the main course, so they can survive just fine without us. It's just that they've found this really yummy dessert, and so now they're, you know, that's, we're part of their three-course meal kind of thing.
Yeah, that could be true, too. Yeah, uh-huh. Because they do have to have life for themselves somehow.
Right.
Because they were created, I would imagine, somehow separately from us, you know. I don't know that much about the lifespan of a darkness being, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So when Source withdraws itself, is it... Well, we probably just don't know. Is it a matter of time before darkness dries up? So if the light's off long enough, darkness is gone completely, or does it have some way of keeping itself alive?
No, I think it has a way of keeping itself alive. Because we're
going
the only way to
parallelize. It might be more like an antimatter universe or something like that, with a separate whole different system or something?
Yeah, it's a whole different system.
Okay.
Somehow, like Carrie said, you know, we may be the icing on your cake.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we're nice and bright, sure. Okay, well, that's helping me understand a little more. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Ed.
Okay, so let's bring in the Founding Fathers here, since we're on 4th of July.
Oh, interesting.
We'll bring in the Founding Fathers, and you may know their names, and we'll bring the ones in that were probably from the light. A lot of people, when they do the research, see them as Masons, I believe, and they're kind of looking at Masons as not being good, but I won't get into any of that here on this program, so I can't really judge what they had back then versus now, and if there is a difference on it. But they did bring forth the wording in the Constitution for freedom. So we can stand on that here, and which is Independence Day. So let's bring in their energies. And I don't know how many there were. Maybe somebody knows. I'll just say, like, 13 kind of rings a bell, but I don't know if that's correct or not. My history lessons, I kind of forgot most of that stuff, but we'll bring them in. So here we go. Whoever they are, whatever they are, we'll connect to them, and you can feel the energies of them in the totality of their consciousness, okay? So I'll count to 10. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9 and 10, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 and 10, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 and 10, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 and 10. Okay, just kind of see how that feels. So this is what this country was founded upon, this type of energy. Maybe we can get some comments or call in person. So back to you, Carrie.
Okay, that's really interesting. It feels like my face is warm, and it feels like, gosh, it's hard to describe, maybe like a hope energy, hopefulness or something is what I'm feeling, I think.
Uh-huh.
So, while we wait for comments or another caller, Dan has a question about the mind, and he is asking if the mind is an alien clone of the spirit.
Hmm. Yeah, in a sense it would be. Initially you had spirit in your body that talked to you. So your whole body resonated and talked to you through your spirit, okay? So if you were to ask a question and you were in a conversation with your spirit, remember this is your body consciousness, which you could call mind. We'll just call body, mind, consciousness. And, you know, you have thoughts now, which you claim are in our head. So that energy then changed, and the darkness came in and put that recording of maybe the vocals, the information inside of your head that you hear now talking to you. So initially, yes, it was your body and spirit talking. The dark side came in and decided to take the energy that you normally had in your heart center, because it was very loud, and bring it into your head. And so now you have two things talking to you. And over the thousands of years that we're, you know, here and getting implants and stuff, that the loud voice that you used to hear all of a sudden became very quiet, very still, very submissive in a sense, because you could not connect to it because the other one's so much louder. And that's kind of what it would be. So, yeah, the darkness brought in the mind energy, which dealt with time and kind of overrode with the volume, turned all the way up, your heart center, your own spirit. That's what they call it sometimes, you know, that small, still voice or something like that. And, you know, you do have to be quiet and quiet the mind. A lot of people talk about quieting your mind to hear spirit, which is true, because the other one is so much louder. So you have to actually disconnect you from the mind. That's why we do the mind to heart drop. In fact, we'll do it now. So if you wanted to connect to your spirit, and the spirit is just peace, then you have to do the mind to heart drop. So we'll drop you down. I'll count from 10 to 1 backwards. It's not hypnosis. You know, just because you can do yourself. All you're doing is commanding your spirit to take that monkey mind energy, you know, that chattering voice in your head, which probably wants to torment you, to get you to do many things at once, and to bring you into the peace energy. So here we go. Dropping down. So 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Okay, now you should be heart-centered. So if you were able to sense anything happening, you're going to notice each time I counted a number down, it's like dropping an elevator down, and you can actually feel those thoughts go down through your head, you know, through your chin, you know, down, you know, your throat, you know, and you're going to eventually feel it in your heart as each time you go down and I start counting the numbers. And then all of a sudden you realize that, wow, I'm thinking and talking now, but my head is like cut off. You don't need your head, you know, to do any thinking, because now your heart's doing the thinking. So you can visualize, if you would, you know, possibly, you know, a mouth and ears on your heart, and maybe even eyes, you know? And now you're actually there, and it's a whole different feeling. And so that's what we call the mind-to-heart drop. And it's, like I mentioned, once you're there, and you do this a bunch of times, maybe 3-4 times a day, after about a week, it'll be really simple. At first, the darkness doesn't want you to stay there, so it'll bring some kind of distraction your way to pop you out, get you back into your head, back into the time-based reality of living. But when you're there in your heart, after a while, you can probably stay there for about 15 minutes or so, maybe even longer. And the more that you're there, you're going to have to probably get yourself some way to write down information, like a day planner, so that you can write down what time you have to do something, because you're going to be at peace. And the people around you are going to probably wonder what happened to you, because you're not as reactive to situations. Plus, you probably won't care what they're going through, so they may feel like they got abandoned because you're not dealing with their stuff any longer. Because when you're in the moment, nothing exists but peace. And if a person is really amped up on the reality of judgment and stuff and doing things and everything else, you know, you're going to be a whole different person to them. They may not understand what you've done because you're not responding to them the way you used to. And you're going to feel much better because you're not going to go on the roller coaster ride with them on their situations. This is why the emotional whole lifetime clearing is so good. It takes you out of a lot of that stuff. So back to you, Carrie.
Okay. Quite a few comments about the Founding Fathers. Amy is saying, wow, a lot of pure light with the Founding Fathers from no time feel like the light. They feel like light beings to me. And Stephanie's saying, I'm kind of feeling silver energy in my midsection. Rhonda is saying heart energy, very deep, peace from the Founding Fathers. And Jake is saying that it's very electric energy for him. Stephanie again saying that she's feeling the energy in the bottom half of her rib cage. And Shane saying they look like white light beings. Neat is sensing red and white and blue. That's funny. Red, white, and blue, America. And Shane is asking if they're connected to the 12 source energies, the Founding Fathers.
I don't know. These energies here feel to me like you're all saying pretty good. I just don't know. So I can tell you that I just don't know, you know, if maybe light beings came into these people for a short time to do a change, to, let's just kind of step backwards a little bit here. So before Jesus came, Buddha came about 300 years earlier. So that was 1776 when they came, okay? So it's a little bit over 200 years. So it's very possible, but I can't just say that it would be correct, that maybe some light beings did come here to try to make one whole country ready for ascension, where, you know, you're looking at the other countries that maybe were controlled more with the darkness, and the U.S., United States of America, chose to branch off into another reality of consciousness. So that's one way to look at it. I want to bring in another energy. Oops, I got a beep here. Mm-hmm. Somebody there?
Yes, this is Nikki.
Hi Nikki.
Hi. I'm sorry, my question's a little bit different. I'm kind of new and trying to get a handle on everything. But if you thought you were here to improve the quality of life on this planet, do I have to give that up now? Is that not a real thing?
Okay, you have a very good question. Okay. A lot of people, somehow when they get on their spiritual path or whatever, maybe they go to channelers, and maybe they don't. They just have an intuition that they're here to help out humanity, okay? Well, that could be true. Except, remember, the light does not require you to do anything. Just to be is all that it wants you to do, to be in peace. So the light will never give you any homework to do for each individual lifetime. Now, the light of the darkness will do everything for you. It'll give you all kinds of loops to go to. It'll have you, do whatever it can to get you to think that you're here for a special purpose. But remember, in true light, there's nothing for you to do because the light cannot judge you and will never tell you what to do. So your question would be then, if I'm here to improve life on this planet, okay, in a sense, to help other people, that would be the light of the darkness probably talking to you to give you a mission, because true light won't do that. That's why light doesn't channel through anybody. It can't, because it would be in judgment of itself.
Okay.
And I have heard people talk to me, and they said, Ron, you know, I'm an alien extraterrestrial from, the stars. I'm a star person, and I know that I came here to help out for Ascension. And that could possibly be true also. But remember, most people who come here, I'd probably say everybody who comes here is stuck. It's like going into quicksand. And it's very unfortunate because once you get the DNA of a body, once you're in that body, your spirit gets contaminated, and it can't leave because it gets all the barcodes put on it and stuff, along with the body. So it could be true that you could have that consciousness still, but if you've had any past lives, you know, that you can recall, then more than likely, it's just the dark side talking to you. You know, if you're brand new here, then you could say, yeah, very possibly, you know, you came here to do something like that. But typically...
Oh, I didn't. I know I've been here many times before, and I'm just kind of... I've always thought I had to have a purpose, and now I don't know what the hell
to do. The only purpose here is to enjoy life as much as you can. So the actual purpose is to know yourself. That's the true purpose, to know you and your spirit.
And I don't help my friends?
Your friends are on their own way of looking at life. It's very hard to help. You have to help yourself first. You can only take somebody as far as you can, as according to how far you have gone yourself on the journey. And so don't waste your time with your friends trying to help them, because they may not get it and drag you down. And, you know, you have to become, it's like tough love to yourself. And you, in a sense, you have to become selfish, because all that's here is you. And when you die, typically, look back upon your life like you just got through dying an hour ago. How much did you do for yourself? How much did you enjoy life, okay? Were you helping everybody else? You know, you have to look at that, because that's all that you have. All that you have here is that, and that memory will be erased from you, because the darkness doesn't want you to have anything. In true light, there's no memory of where you went to, because there's no baggage associated with each lifetime. So all you're doing is living in the moment, and in that moment is where life is. And life doesn't live in the past or the future. It's always in the moment. So you're here to experience life moment by moment by moment by moment. And what you have done in the past, even if it was an awful thing that you did to somebody or to yourself, you know, walk away, Renee. It happened. You've been there, done that. And don't regret it, because there's no regrets. Because the regret will bring you back into that situation again. Just move on and have a new experience. That's all the light is asking you to do, just to move on with your life and live in the present moment. So there's no judgment. You're here to experience life, and whatever that experience is in that present moment is what you should choose to experience.
Okay.
Well, that's a trap that the darkness puts out, the light of the darkness. You know, it'll tell people that they have to do this and that and the other. They're here to do special things. And they believe it's true because they're hearing this energy. They get it from different channelers, possibly, telling them that, you know, because they talk to angels or whatever. And from there, they dilute themselves out, thinking that they have a mission here. The only thing you can do here is to know yourself and to know your spirit. And that's all that life is for each particular lifetime that you're here, unfortunately. And you're only here because, you know, you lost the way to get out of here. So the light ship comes every 2,000 years to help the ones that needed a little, you know, more assistance, okay?
Right.
And so that's what it is. But, yeah, the darkness will have you go through all kinds of hoops, you know, I mean, it's incredible, you know, what the darkness will make you do.
Well, I'm starting to realize.
And it'll also have you give away all your money also. You know, it'll make you feel guilty. You got to help this person, help that person, okay? Because you're guided to do this here. And after it's all over with, you have nothing left. And they don't care, okay? So just work on yourself.
Right.
The only oneness that there ever is your consciousness that you have and your spirit. That's your oneness.
Interesting.
It's just very difficult living here the way we do because, you know, if you are I know this is a judgment, but if you're a kind person and you see people around you suffering and you have the ability to help your friends or whomever, the natural impulse is to do so.
Yeah, and that's the spirit energy trying to help.
Yeah.
So that is,
I feel guilty if I don't.
Yeah, if you have tons of money, you know, and you know, let's say you're a millionaire and you want to give away $10,000 to some poor people to help them out, no problem, but if you only got a bank account with $500 in it, and, you know, you see needy people when you go out and spend the $500 on them and you get nothing in exchange for that other than a smile, or you watch them go out and buy some drugs with your money, you know, an hour later,
right.
And you go, wow, you know, what did I do here? You know, that's what the dark side wants you to do. So it's very difficult and challenging that way. You know, to watch how life is here. And the dark side will, with emotion, remember, the dark side controls emotions, okay? So the dark side controls compassion. And it'll control and bring you into the empathy and everything else so that you do feel like you need to help somebody.
Yeah,
and,
so
you know, there's nothing wrong with that if you have enough money and funds or time available to do that. But by all means, don't give your good away. Because the good is your good.
What do you mean by that, Ron? Don't give your good away.
Okay, it's like, what's the thing in the Bible? Something, don't give pearls to swine or something like that? I don't know.
I'm not
something
sure.
Like, yeah, but anyway, you only want to do what you can if you choose to do that. It's fine. But don't put other people above yourself, okay?
Okay, so that must mean I have a big thing on my billboard that says I got to help everybody on the planet. Because
yeah,
I've
known
this since I was an infant.
Yeah, you may have a barcode on that even.
Well,
you know,
I probably
there may be
do.
Other, yeah, there may be other barcodes that's on there that I haven't brought up yet that you could have. You know, I never have mentioned this before, but you could have been stamped with the barcode to become needy and to use all your life force energy up for other people. You know, it's possible that maybe your spirit was pretty strong, maybe it was rebelling, and they said, well, we'll fix this person. We're going to put a barcode on the spirit so it has to now feel like it needs to help other people who are needy. And then you go through your whole lifetime being exhausted and not having anything because you think it's your spiritual path, you walk here to help people.
Right. Now, as soon as
bringing yourself down.
Yeah, up until a couple of weeks ago, I was sure it was my spiritual path to help everybody and on the planet.
If that would have been true, they would have given you the financial backing, hopefully, to do that.
That didn't happen.
You know, the darkness controls it, but the light will never judge, you see. So you have to look at it.
Right.
Well, is the light telling me to do this? No, well, the light doesn't judge me. It doesn't tell me what to do. So that's the main thing to look at. Whenever you have a question, you know, use that as the common denominator there. Because the light doesn't judge, will never tell you what to do, doesn't force you to do anything, only wants you to be in peace. And if you find that part of that equation there, is out of balance, then you know it can't be the light.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
A whole new way of thinking.
That should give you a big lift off your shoulders so that now you can become more positive with yourself and not feel like you are abandoning your mission, or that you're worrying about not completing, you know.
Right.
And that's really a curse, you know, to have that put on you like that.
That's exhausting.
Yeah, yeah, because it feels like you're never good enough.
Oh, I'm not. I'm so sure of that. So when you are telling, talking, doing a healing with us, and you talk about getting in touch with something, you're wanting us to do that with our mind or with our heart?
Oh, always your heart. You have to go down into your heart. Your mind is darkness. You never want to go to your mind. Remember,
it's the mind that has the pain, right?
Yeah, yeah. The mind connects to your DNA and recycles everything in your life and all the past lives. That's the mind energy.
So when I'm listening to you, and we're doing a healing. I don't know where I'm supposed to go, to my head or to my mind.
To
my head or to my heart.
Yeah, well, the healing will work wherever you are. It doesn't matter if you're in your heart or in your head, okay? The healing will work because the healing is automatically working through your spirit. Remember, all the healings that we do work through your spirit, because your spirit is your conduit to bring the energy to you, okay?
Right.
So it doesn't matter if you're not listening, you know, if you're not on the website watching the light beam, it doesn't make any difference. And it doesn't matter if you're thinking of something or doing something else. Once I put the healing out there, then your spirit will automatically connect to that healing and will work for you. You could even be playing checkers. And if you have the radio program on the internet, your spirit will automatically get the energy for the healing, even though you're doing something else, as long as you can hear the words, okay?
Right. I've kept archives on for hours on end, and I notice that even if I have to do something, it still happens, because I'll feel the clearing that I get.
Yes. Yes.
Cool.
Yep. That's the way it works. So, and some people like to bring up the light beam on their screen only because, you know, it gives them a little more energy. Plus, it'll change frequency sometimes. If I bring in the males or females, you're actually going to see the colors change. And when you first see it, I do it at expos for people on the monitors or even the pictures that we have there, and they don't know what to think at first because they see it physically change, and they don't know how it's done, you know. So it's kind of neat to watch people being awestruck, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah,
yeah,
it doesn't matter.
Very...
Yeah, so the whole thing is to be in your heart if you can. But the healings will work if you're not there either, because your spirit's doing it for you. It's helping you out.
Right. Okay. So even if I accidentally get stuck in my head and spirit is working, I mean, it can get through to me.
Yes. Your spirit will always help your body. So your spirit's here to help your body do a healing. It will always do that.
Great. Well, I really appreciate you, Ron. I appreciate you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
And thank you so much for talking with me.
Oh, sure. And you probably help a lot of people out, too. So, great.
Good.
Yeah, good question. Thanks, Nikki.
Yeah, and anybody listening, even if you have a question that sounds kind of maybe stupid to you or something, you know, by all means, you know, do ask it, because nothing is stupid. Okay, so I want to bring in an energy here. We have a few minutes left, I think, here. I wanted to bring in the energy, since we brought in the Founding Fathers. We don't have enough time to really comment on this here, but I wanted to bring in the Knights of Templar. So, just to see how they were in that time frame, because they were there supposedly to my understanding, is to keep the energy of Jesus and stuff, you know, kind of strong and alive, and then the church sabotaged them. That's my understanding. I could be wrong, but here we go. Here's the Knights of Templar energy, the original Knights of Templar, and we'll see if they kind of resonate to the Founding Fathers. I'm just curious. So here we go. Stronger, 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 and stronger. Okay. So everybody, maybe we could you could answer that question, but we can't get at this moment in the next few minutes. Maybe you could bring it up also on the Wednesday program, Fast Chat, and we can talk about it. So back to you, Carrie.
Okay. Which question was that, Ron, that you want people to bring up on Wednesday?
That'd be the Knights of Templar. How the Knights of Templar energy compared to the Founding Fathers of 1776.
Okay. Okay. All right. So I think we have a couple of minutes left. I have 53. We have quite a few questions. I'm just going to answer Shannon's. She was our first caller, Ron, and she was asking about whether she would see her mother again, and you did the clearing of her mother's emotional body. And Shannon, Ron didn't say whether you would see your mother again, I don't believe. He just said that she was still, her spirit was still getting cleared off, so she hasn't incarnated again. And I'm assuming, Ron, that you're not able to or don't want to look into the future to see if she is going to be back here anytime soon.
There's no way that I can really check that future up. That's darkness energy.
Right.
So that's changeable daily, whatever they choose to do with her. But I can see that her spirit now is going through the process of being cleared out. And if you wanted to do the clearing online to have the spirit brought back to the light, I think it's $50, and the light ship could, since I found it now, the light ship could take your spirit out of the land of darkness and bring it back into the land of light. That's a possibility, too. But normally, people will feel that emotional body coming. So that clearing is, I think, deceased loved ones clearing. Normally, people use it when somebody dies within maybe a week or so. What they'll do is go on there to safeguard that, you know, their friend or parent is brought back into the light instead of going into the reincarnation process. But it's like, you know, since I found your mother, she's still savable. So otherwise, they go through a regular routine. But they get put into dark side universes, get cleared off, and then they get popped back over here into the soul family. And then from there, they're on their path of reincarnation, and they pick a body, the best of the worst parents, and like everybody living, you're here until the body dies. So back to you, Carrie.
Okay. Ed just has a little follow-up on what you were talking about with Nikki about having a mission, and he's just asking if we... he says, what if we gave ourselves the mission, if the mission is what we chose ourselves from inside us and not from the outside? Is that okay to do?
Yeah, if you know that it's truly your spirit doing that, you know, that would probably be fine. Just, you know, look for those safeguards and make sure that you're not doing stuff, you know, for yourself, you know, running in circles, going through a lot of hoops to do something. If you notice the way the energy of spirit works, like what Nikki was saying, she could feel the energy and stuff, even though she was doing other things. See, spirit doesn't have any hoops you have to go through. The spirit is like going from point A to point B, and it's over with. And that's how quick the things work. So if you realize that you have to move a lot of boulders in front of you, make a road and pave it and everything else, then chances are that's the wrong path for you, typically. Okay, I can't say it's 100%. If for some reason you're doing something and everything comes into alignment and it's effortless and maybe people start coming to you out of nowhere and wanting to have you help them with something, still check your billboard, see what it's saying. But if you're doing, you know, work, you know, in the light and you're drawing people to you, then that's probably, and it's effortless for you, then you know that you're doing the right thing. That's kind of what I would say. Otherwise, if you go through a lot of stuff, a lot of hoops, then you're doing the wrong thing. You're just running darkness energy, and they're taking away your life force. Remember, you're using life force, and they're depleting you of life force. Even your financial money is life force to you. So you have to look at that. Everything that you have is life force energy. You don't want to give that away. Okay, Carrie. So I guess we could probably end our call here, I guess, the BBS program anyway. So thank you for coming on, and take notes, everybody, on how the Knights of Templar felt, and we'll compare that to the Founding Fathers on the next program here. We'll just see what you people think. So blessings to all of you, and coming up this Saturday is our 4-hour Ascension call, and then Sunday is the 8-hour alien life form removal. We call it body rejuvenation. And you can do it absentee also. So thank you, Carrie.
Thank you, Ron, and thanks, everybody. And we'll see you on Wednesday on Station 1 again at 7 Pacific, 10 Eastern. Good night.
Good night, everybody.